October 7th, 2013, a SWAT from Pedro show.
Okay.
Watt from Pedro Show. Not at the Love Grotto, not with Brother Matt, but here at PracPad. In fact, I think the first time I've ever done a radio show here at PracPad. And my guest, after giving him a four-hour tour of my Pedro town, Alex Shane. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks Uncle Mike, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We started with John Coltrane doing an alternate version, take number 6 with the false start, John Coltrane, Giant Steps. There's Sawako doing Not Ready, Why Yet? And Berlin by Dirty Beaches. What can you tell me about Berlin?
Well, not that much since we only moved there. I just moved there in December, this past winter.
I mean the tune.
Oh, the tune. Pretty much it's like my version of David Bowie's new career in a new town, except it's not that uplifting.
Okay.
But basically I moved there and then that was the first day of snow.
Yeah.
It was about 5 in the morning. And it's got a lot of baggage where I'm thinking about the place I left, the home I left, and looking at this foreign landscape.
Yeah.
But also there's kind of optimism behind it because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Which is like foreign and unknown is not bad for me.
Okay.
It's got a lot of optimism behind that. So it's kind of just looking over this foggy snow, first day of snow.
Yeah.
No one's awake yet, 5 in the morning, just me looking out the window and standing outside.
I got that feeling. What can you tell me about way back, your first music consciousness?
Whoa. Probably my dad driving his Cadillac in Taiwan, which is not practical at all because they're fucking small and narrow streets.
And him and that big uncle, boat was tough.
Yeah, him and my uncle were just obsessed with Cadillacs since they were kids. So once they got some money, they bought one. And the first musical memory is probably him singing like Unchained Melody or something.
In the Cadillac.
In the Cadillac. While
he's driving.
While he's driving.
Down these little streets.
Down these little streets. And I was always in the back, so I could always see the back of his head. And just like my old man. And he doesn't speak English, so he learned the song phonetically.
Oh, wow. Just the sounds.
Just the sounds, yeah. So it's a trip, yeah.
Whoa. How old? Like little, 5?
Yeah, probably less. Probably like 4 or 5.
Four or five. Yeah. That's your first music. From there, what happened? Like,
from there,
getting records? Or?
No, mine was like a very different trip.
Yeah.
It was like, I just listened to like Wu-Tang and hip-hop. The first American...
Stuff over the radio?
Yeah, stuff over the radio and whatever my friends were listening to in school. And then the first CD I bought was like a Janet Jackson CD when I was like, I don't know, like 10 or something, or 11, with my allowance.
Yeah. And then, why'd you pick that one?
There was this music video called Rhythm Nation.
Oh, yeah.
It's all like black and white, like military.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I was like, wow. Like, I had just came from Taiwan, so I was thinking like, wow, this is America. Like, this is next level shit.
Oh, really?
But that was cool for me.
Because, oh, you mean there was no like Taiwan music scene that you were turned on to?
I mean, not until I was older then I started digging.
Okay.
You know, like older, like folk.
But was there anybody at school playing there or something?
No, there was like
no bands. Okay.
Yeah, it was, if there was anything, it was only pop music.
Pop music, okay.
Taiwanese pop music or something.
So when you come to the U.S. with this Hawaii?
Yeah, that was like 1994, later on. Yeah, when I was like 14. But before that, I was in Toronto in Canada.
What about there? I know there's a music scene there.
I didn't get into music until like 1999.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't play an instrument until 1999.
And you didn't buy records not till that Janet Jackson?
Yeah, and Janet Jackson. So I went from Janet Jackson to like Wu-Tang, Biggie Smalls, which is like Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that kind of stuff. And Surfer Friends.
He got shot to death in this town.
In Pedro?
No. Los Angeles.
Oh, in L.A.,
up by the auto museum.
Yeah, there was like that whole East Coast, West Coast beef thing.
Terrible.
I remember that.
He's a good rapper.
Yeah.
He really was. How'd you find out about them? You just
Because that was like on the radio, and right. Everyone in high school was listening to it. Yeah, I was just playing basketball and like chasing girls on the beach in Honolulu. Yeah. Okay. That's all we did.
But was there was no music scene there either, huh?
There was like some kids into rockabilly stuff.
Oh, really?
Some weird punk stuff. And yeah, but I think that was about
it. I remember playing a club there called The Wave.
Yeah.
And it was corrugated.
I know exactly where that is.
Terrible sound. Also played that round place that Don Ho did gigs in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I played there 3 times, and I can't remember the third place, but I remember The Wave.
Yeah, The Wave, yeah. It's right in the beginning of Waikiki, like before the entrance.
Okay.
On Kalakaua, I think, yeah.
And boy, you know, well, you play anywhere you can. And
yeah.
But I played there with Porno for Pyros. That was my first time getting to play in Hawaii.
That's awesome.
It was, because it was, I needed to still do Alaska, and I did a few years later, but those two were the hard gigs to work in, just try to say you played all 50 states, because they ain't got a freeway there yet. So, okay, you're doing the hoops, chasing the ladies, then you get some R&B, some rap.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you want to make music?
I think it wasn't until later on. Like, then I played in a metal band. That was my first band.
Oh, so you start playing. How'd you get into...
It was just by chance, like a friend.
That you use his guitar?
Yeah, and then they were just like, yeah, if you want to play. I was like, cool. And then they kicked me out because I couldn't sing that well. So I just started writing my own songs. And the early
stuff, what was the name of the band?
It was called Reverse.
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 Okay.
It's like a bunch of Indonesian cats. They're really into like Brazilian heavy metal, like Sepultura.
Oh, the Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
They like you doing Cookie Monster, your version of Cookie Monster.
They thought I sang like a bitch, so.
That tour we did where we played in Antwerp, we played with a band from Portugal in Czech.
Oh, really?
And it was total Cookie Monster. Hilarious.
Hello, Prague.
They weren't Brazilians. They were actually Portuguese.
Right, from Portugal.
Yeah, right. But they were doing that thing, that Sepultura.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. What a trip. So that's the first music that you played. You went from some hip-hop CDs playing metal.
Yeah.
And then, fuck this, I'm going to make my own music.
Yeah.
Wow, that's some leaps.
And then
that wasn't a gradual thing.
It wasn't gradual at all. It was just like one thing led to another. And I didn't question anything.
Yeah.
And my roommate at the time was like a jazz drummer. And he's into a lot of cool shit. So we did this like weird improv noise band kind of. And I didn't even know what it was. We were just making sounds because I didn't actually know how to play.
Yeah.
So we had a turntable. And I had, like, samplers, and I was playing guitar, but, like, not really playing guitar, just making weird sounds. Because I was obsessed with, like, well, this, if you add this effect with reverb, sounds kind of like a trumpet or something. So I was trying to make the guitar sound like a trumpet.
Okay.
But not really.
Sounds for sounds.
Yeah, just, but not really knowing what I was
doing. Yeah, right. Letting the freak flag fly.
Yeah.
So let's play some music.
Yeah.
This town is dead. Feel like I'm in a cheap cartoon. Nobody bothered drawing any other characters, and I begin to walk an empty city under a badly painted moon till I fade out. This town is dead. Feel like my head's a big balloon. I float above all these atlas pages. I'll get to the end soon. My heart claims that there'll be monsters in this room. Big head climb high. But I can see that there's something amazing beyond these towns tonight. And I'll conceive the eyes of this beholder
fingers walk until they're feet. This box is hanging just like an empty carcass. My grave will be the sea. My head claims that there'll be nothing to this sound. Big heart, kill time. Nobody bothered drawing any other characters, and I begin to walk an empty city under a badly painted moon till I fade looking for all to be rendered, looking for all to come about for my soul, looking for all somewhere within. One day it all began. I was needing oh so bad, all my goodness to show, and one day at my lowest I know, that day I need it all to show. Looking for all,
looking for all to show. I call upon myself, call upon myself to do my best, call upon myself. I was looking for all to be rendered, to be the truth. From deep inside of my internal self, and I told everybody, I say, art is to me the A is for all, the R is for render, and the T is for truth, and the I is for internal, and the to say, looking for all to be rendered for the truth of humankind, from an internal place in me, from an internal place that I call myself. We'll be right back.
this November's freezing. All these sticks and stones, but I pour my own. Sometimes it's pointless breathing.
We're living in this fake world, it's desperate and it's fake.
Since you asked for there to be no more us, my world has dimmed considerably. Do I now look out from under a rock, or from within a body of diminishing senses? So thoroughly have I enjoyed the oneness of us, unquestioningly, I have depended on there being a you and I for the rest of our lives. That gave me infinite comfort and strength. I felt as if we were one. Your once unconditional love shielded me with insane invincibility. I felt pure and immeasurably safe, beyond the rabble of seeking lovers, smarmy cheaters, and the hopelessly lost. Never did I imagine how tall I stood. I felt above it all. Then you taught me I merely balanced on a flimsy carpet of smoke, threaded with a fool's hope. With but a few cold words, you yanked out from beneath me all of my convictions about love, about togetherness and commitment. Blithely toppled was my soaring conjugal smugness, and my face shoved in the mud. Now, uncertainty and displacement, loom before me as twin giants of despair. They come from every direction to tear from me an aching heart with which I hold before my watering eyes in unshaky, unsure hands. An orange terror alert has colored like a stain my love life. I warn myself, don't let go. Must I secure my wounded sensibilities with duct tape and plastic sheeting? Am I even able to do so? For the first time in his life, this tall man feels as if he looks up at a world that previously lay all around and below his confident gaze. Casting me aside from your need and affection, thrust the mundane and everyday above my reach and control. Where once I gazed upon it all with easy pleasure, I now peek out with but little hope. Everywhere I turn seems dirty, about to touch me. And to make matters worse, wretched and crawling am I, even to hope for love again.
Watch for Pedro show. We heard This Town by the Glimmerman. At Pisani number 3 by Milovaya. Sorry. Mitya Markovich Jazz Band. All Rendered Truth by Lonnie Holly. Hunger by Light. Mexico by the Nice Sharp Pencils. Funori Jig by Osonio de Marinayo. I have to tell you, I know the bass player in that band. Me. Disclaimer. La Tigresa by Chicano Batman. Got to play with him and Pedro last week.
That's a great
fuck
name.
Last week, only a couple. Yeah, it's a great show. And they're a bad band, man. They got all their own sound, you know, trippy ass. A lot of turnarounds, a lot of jams. I really dug it. And a poem from Chris Kroger. This writhing, W-R-I-T-H-I-N-G.
Writhing.
Okay. This writhing. Yeah, writhing. That's what I thought. It means to like kind of be tortured, right? Love by Chris Kroger, and finally Pitter Patter from Maeve Mills. Maeve is a bass man in Chumbawamba. I got to play with him here in Pedro in the maybe 94 time you're talking about, and the Crass singer lady. Opened up the gig, Eve Libertine. Yeah, with her son on guitar.
That's crazy.
Nemo. I remember his name was Nemo. Yeah. That's and the Nice Sharp Pencils out of England, too. Let's see. I know where some of these people are from. Glimmerman are of Ireland. Anyway, so what was this duet called?
The thing I did with my roommate?
Yeah, the jazz drummy.
The Funambulist, I think.
Funambulist?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a great name.
That was really
fun. Did you think up that name?
No, he's not okay. Yeah.
He was the idea man in that band.
He thought about it.
Did you guys ever record?
Yeah, we have some recordings on mini discs and stuff like
mini discs.
Yeah, that was like the rage at the time.
I remember.
There's like these little clip-on microphones, and we just put it in the middle of the jam space, and then we're like, "Damn, this sounds good." We just kept recording on them.
Wow, yeah, and then these little
the plastic ones.
Holders, and yeah. You could see the silver disc.
Yeah, because they don't scratch.
That's right.
Yeah, they're like CDs that scratch.
And kind of like CDs, because they didn't have the hiss that cassettes had.
No, it's all digital, and it's scratch-proof, doesn't scratch.
Right.
Like a more permanent.
But easier to deal with than DAT.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like DAT.
Yeah, way easier than DAT.
God, you never see those around anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. It never caught on. It just went obsolete.
But okay.
At that time, like in 98, 99, 2000, like me and my roommate were just like crazy about that stuff.
And they were like releases?
No.
Oh, these they were just for like, your...
Yeah, we just recorded.
Did you guys ever make a public release thing?
Never.
Okay.
I don't think I would want to now. I haven't heard it in years, but...
But you got them. So one day you might go back.
Yeah, I mailed it back to my parents'... storage place, so it's in China now.
okay.
Yeah.
Well, one day you might go back though.
It's in a shoebox. Maybe one day.
Did the Fimbulists do gigs?
Yeah, we play shows in Waikiki and Hawaii and stuff at this place called King's Crab.
Okay.
Which is like a seafood restaurant, but then the owner was so down to let this. We had this Filipino promoter called Nemo. He had like
another Nemo.
Huge. Kind of like
Fu Manchu
thing going on, and sweet guy.
He liked wild music?
Yeah, he brought like, well, that's where my metal band played, and then all his band played. His band was this band called Butterfly Knife, I think. Like, yeah, it was pretty cool. They're all into like the Filipino gangs.
Okay. I think we got some, I think these cats here are Filipino. Bumbo Pluto Ova.
I never heard of them. Sounds cool.
I think that means egg.
Ova?
Yeah, right, Ova. Yeah. Wavo, though, right, Filipino spirit. But, okay, so Nemo here, there was a kind of scene.
Yeah, there was like, he kind of just was facilitating the stuff.
Was there a record store everybody hung out at?
Yeah, there was like this place that had secondhand CDs and stuff. I never really hung out at record stores. I just went in there to, like, at that point, I was like trading in like all my hip hop CDs for like Sonic Youth and weird stuff.
Cause okay.
I was, like, exploring.
Right, right, right.
And then that was when I got into jazz as well. I got into John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Pharoah Sanders.
This guy, what was his name, this drum man?
Kyle Plyler.
Yeah, Kyle.
Yeah.
He could help turn you on to some of this stuff.
Yeah. And a lot of indie music too. So, before this, I was not aware of what independent music was at all.
No idea. Yeah, you went from this R&B pop.
Yeah, to like
rap,
a metal band.
To metal.
To like just playing weird noises and sounds to like.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like huge paradigm shifts.
Yeah. I think it's because I have no concept of what underground culture is.
Yeah.
I was just
and you didn't use it socially either.
No, I didn't use it socially either.
And so you know a lot of scenes are kind of social.
I noticed that later on. Yeah. When I was like 23, 24.
There's some kids that don't play at all or they're not even gig guards. They're just total social.
They just dress the part.
And those are the ones that kind of burn out quick.
Yeah, because they're just there to talk shit. They don't do. We call them scenesters. They don't do.
Scenesters.
They don't do anything. They're just there to critique.
Yeah.
And then them themselves don't ever produce anything.
Yeah, they make a good lynch mob.
Yeah, they do.
That's it.
They're the
peanut gallery.
Yeah. Hang the DJ.
Yeah. So, Nemo's got this scene going. You're playing there with the Fimless. What happens from there?
Then the Fimless broke up. I joined some indie rock bands. I was just playing guitar, just in the background.
Change?
Yeah, just like chords and like actually learning.
You're learning chords. You're learning to play with other
people.
Because he was just setting up rhythms. You didn't really have to deal with chords.
Yeah, and I was just playing whatever on top of this.
Right, his rhythm.
Awesome rhythm. Yeah.
Right, right. Now, though, you're in with the bands with guys that are also playing.
Yeah,
notes.
They're, like, looking at me like, okay, here's the change. Here's the chorus is coming up. And I'm like, oh, what's a chorus? It's like, you know, the part that you repeat three times in a song.
But you said you were doing some songwriting.
Yeah.
But this was more like an experimental.
Yeah, it was, like, similar to what I'm doing now.
Now. And it wasn't like these other guys' band that you joined.
Yeah.
That was more traditional
formula.
Yeah.
And then the stuff I was working on myself. It's really similar to the stuff I'm doing.
Doing now.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's really.
It's like you had to put in your time with the Square Johns.
Yeah, it's just kind of like I didn't know what I was doing. I was just kind of like, cool. I guess I like playing bands, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a learning process, you know.
Did you have to record with any of those bands?
Some of them, but I don't have the recordings anymore because I didn't. I think over the past few years, I don't think. They sound pleasant to me at all. So I just didn't bother, like, you know, making an archive.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Keeping track of it. I just, they were burned on CDRs. And when I move around so much, so when they're lost. And I didn't bother to, like, hey, do you still have that recording? Like, I was like, it's gone.
It's not like a tattoo.
No. I don't know. Maybe 10 years later, I'll look back and be like, this is actually not bad. You know?
You able to hear it?
Yeah.
What were some of the names of these bands?
One of them was called Walks Among Us, which is a play on that Misfits.
Yeah. Did you do Misfit tunes?
No, it was this girl. She was like, it was actually like a romantic title, like Walks Among Us or something, like a play on that title. I don't know. It was supposed to be romantic, not like a militant kind of. there was another band called Julius. And then...
As in Caesar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like Orange Julius.
I remember those. It was a weird kind of foamy thing.
Yeah. It was like this weird apple.
It wasn't soda. It wasn't orange juice. It was...
Kind of milky. Kind of chalky. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes they'd be combined with car washes here in SoCal. I don't know.
Really?
But they would. You'd find the Orange Julius connected with a car wash.
Car wash.
I know. Weird kind of combo. And, okay, so, from there.
Then I had my first band where I wrote all the songs.
Which your band.
You're
not part of somebody else's band.
Yeah, and I was the singer and the guitarist. And it was called The Manor, and we actually...
The Manor, like the house?
No, like mannerisms.
Okay.
Like Manor. And then we tried to move to San Francisco, like leave Hawaii. We're like, oh, let's fucking go tour. Let's do this. You know, I don't want to be stuck on this fucking island for the rest of our lives. So we moved there. We moved to Tenderloin. I got a job, you know, like washing dishes and like, yeah, we found an apartment. All was good. And then my visa was like running out because this whole time I was going to school in Hawaii, but then I dropped out. I dropped out of college.
And there's kind of restriction.
Yeah, so it's, I didn't.
In school, you got to get out.
You got to get out, you know. So I was really naive, and my friends were all just like, well, you're Canadian. Just go across the border, and you can come back as a tourist or something. So I tried that. Went to Seattle, got a ride with from a friend. Went to Vancouver, stayed one night. When I was trying to cross back, they were like, where do you live? And I'm like, Canada. And they're like, what's your address in Canada? And I gave them the one from my childhood, you know, and then they called that house. Obviously, I don't live there anymore. So they're like, you lied to the United States immigration. You know, blah, 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 blah. This is a felony. This is a criminal offense. Blah, blah, blah. I took my fingerprints. And I was like, oh, my God, what is going on? And then they were just like, you cannot come back into the United States unless you prove to us that you have a Canadian residency. So I was stuck at the border. My friends were like, I have to go back to work. Like, this is late, you know, like, I can't stay in Vancouver.
Hold on, we're at the end of the first hour. We're going to continue this. This is very exciting stuff. So, Watch for Peter Show, October 7, 2013 edition, end of hour one. Hold tight for this incredible story. Hour two. October 7, 2013. It's the second hour of Watch for Peter Show.
From Walgreens, and he takes care of me, and when he fills my prescription, I feel peace and harmony. He asks, how is Dr. Hoffman? Oh well, she's just doing fine, sir. Tell her there's a new generic. Okay, I'll be sure to remind her. He's the pharmacist from Walgreens, and he knows what I be. 'Cause when he turns on that computer screen, he sees what he needs to see. Well, he's the pharmacist from Walgreens. Whoa, 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 whoa. He's the pharmacist from Walgreens. Oh yeah, that's all you need to know. Well, Klonopin and Prozac, he knows all about that. The pharmacist from Walgreens. Drill, etc., diuretics, enemas, the pharmacist from Walgreens. And in his little white coat, he looks so sad and bored. 'Cause he's the pharmacist from the Walgreens discount store. Whoa. Well, he's the pharmacist from Walgreens. I think I'll see him today. And he'll fill my prescription for a $10 copay. The medicine with the warning on it, don't take it on an empty stomach. He's the pharmacist from Walgreens, and he's my friend today. Well, Lexapro tonight, man, he knows that's the right plan. The pharmacist from Walgreens. Celebrex and Sudafed, Ambien to go to bed. The pharmacist from Walgreens. Still in his little white coat, he looks so sad and bored. Must be 'cause he's the pharmacist from the Walgreens discount store. Whoa. Well, he's the pharmacist from Walgreens, and he's a funny guy. His jokes about his wife's arthritis makes you want to slap your thigh. Cortisone for Mrs. Larrups, hemorrhoids, well, they've begun to flare up. He's the pharmacist from Walgreens, and he's our friend today. how he cares about your constipation, stomach gas and regulation. He's the pharmacist from Walgreens, takes care of you and me. Thank you.
home like ice cream. Demonized eyes, dirty wool. The girls in your house, you girls, demonized, demonized eyes, made mud.
Pedro, so we started the second hour off with Dirty Beaches. Alex here with Like the Ocean We Part.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the double album.
Yeah, the double album, yeah.
Yeah. And we were just at the ocean.
Yeah, it's very powerful stuff, the
ocean. In fact, it was your return, after all,
mm-hmm.
this time.
It's been a long time since leaving Hawaii and the Pacific. Yeah, it's been a long trip. I never really realized, but it's been over like almost 10 years.
Damn.
Since I left Hawaii.
Since you parted.
Yeah.
And this too, it's kind of like a, another, like Berlin song, kind of a
mm-hmm.
end of an episode, beginning of another episode.
It's definitely the end, I'd say. Beginning of a new chapter kind of thing.
Because how does the ocean part?
Well, they don't. It's just...
They flow, right? Oh, okay.
It's like receding tides. It's like you want to separate, but you...
But you really don't.
You don't separate. You're together.
The sea goes out, the sea comes in. Yeah, great. So yeah, excellent metaphor.
Connected for life, you know?
Yeah, sure.
As much you want to part for whatever reasons.
And it's got a rhythm, it's got a resonance, it's mm-hmm. got... Yeah. And Dot Wiggin Band with the fellow with a happy heart. A pharmacist from Walgreens, from Greg Turner. You know Greg Turner? He played guitar in Angry Samoans.
Oh, yeah.
And he teaches calculus in the
That's awesome.
University of New Mexico.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He also wrote for Cream Magazine. And he was in a band with Richard Meltzer called Bomb. Where they had living cockroaches at a whiskey gig, and I think the boss there got very angry for throwing them from the stage. Spielgusher, Jesse, you don't like fish. Richard Meltzer named that, but it's an instrumental, so thank you, Richard. My Worm Will Not Die by Roman Gabriel Todd's The Beast Rising Up Out of the Sea. Is that a name? He's from Mobile.
That's a grand
He's
name.
Got a buddy named Joe that cooked me some fucking amberjack that was so bitching. You ever have that? It's a gold fish.
No, I never had that.
Next time you're in Mobile. You were just torn in the South, right?
Yeah, we didn't go through that many places. Went to like Nashville, drove through Birmingham, and then Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Phoenix. Well, yeah, that's like the Southwest, yeah.
Okay.
That was it.
That's some hell rides.
Mm-hmm.
That's some hell rides.
To build character.
That's right.
Character
build the character.
Yeah.
Ebo My Mind from Devin, Gary, and Ross. And finally, goddamn, how do you pronounce this? I-J-S-M-A-N.
I-J-S-A-J-M.
M-A-N.
I don't know.
Ijman?
Is it Iman? Maybe the J is...
Silent?
Yeah, Eisman.
Okay.
That's my guess.
By skill 7, stamina 12. That's a bad name. Okay. So, let's take up from where the story left off. You're at the border. Your buddy's got to get to work. You've been enlightened by the security personnel. You have lied to the United States government.
So, yeah, I was banned until I proved to them that I actually live in Canada. So, my buddy, Nichelle, she had to go back to work, so she left, and I was stuck there, found a motel. My cell phone was dying, because I was really naive, because I left my clothes and my charger in Seattle, thinking, I'm just going to be in Vancouver for one day, I'll be right back, I don't have to bring my stuff, you know. So I was left with the clothes that I was wearing, and a cell phone, that's it, and my passport. I wrote down all the important numbers, called people, tried to get help. So I stayed with people that were friends of a friend of a friend of a friend kind of thing.
The best way.
So, yeah, like Dubai, no one really knows me. They're just kind of like, did you get busted because you were like smuggling weed or something? I'm like, no, man, I'm just trying to get back in and play music. They're like, okay, man, I don't know you. I'm just asking. So, yeah, that was really uncomfortable, you know.
Yeah, awkward.
Really awkward. I was doing chores for other people just so they would let me stay.
Yeah.
Clean their house and, wash dishes, you know. Just trying to be a respectable guest.
Sure, sure.
But then after a few days, they were just like, hey, buddy, you got to go, man. Like, my old lady is not happy with you here. And, we don't know you. We don't really know you. And so that happened. Anyway, to make this really painful story short.
I shouldn't be laughing. It's terrible.
I can laugh now, but at the time it was like, I was like almost just crying and shit.
Sure, I can. That would be.
Yeah, I called home.
My head.
Yeah, I called home for help for the first time. My parents were just like, what the hell did you do? Like, how'd you get banned from the U.S.? And then I hadn't called home for help since I was like 16, you know? I've been on
Surprise.
My own. Surprise! Yeah, I was just like, I'm 24, and I'm like a fuck up. I have no money. I'm stuck in Vancouver, homeless. So, yeah, they got me a plane ticket. I had to go to the Chinese embassy, get a Chinese visa to go to China. I've never been there before, because I'm from Taiwan.
Yeah.
It's like the small island. So I went to China to stay with my parents. They had just moved in there at the time. Basically, I was just left with I guess no more music for me. I need to get a job. My dad was like, what are you going to do now? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'll look for a job. So I found a job in a real estate company because I'm bilingual. Selling houses.
That's probably a huge asset over there, especially at that time.
Yeah, that was the wave that was coming up.
Right.
A lot of new entrepreneurs.
So some good luck.
Yeah, I made the most money I ever made in my whole life. And I didn't have to pay rent because I was staying with my folks.
Right.
But I was becoming very suicidal. I didn't have anything to do.
Right, right.
I didn't know what to buy with the money I made because I wasn't paying rent. So
sure.
I mean, I could buy a new suit, but to go where? You know, to go to a bar, you know, I could go eat at a fancy restaurant by myself or treat my parents to a nice place or something. And then that's about it, you know, that went on for a year.
But was this a big town?
Yeah, it was in Shanghai.
Oh, yeah.
Number two. It was big town.
There's a music scene there, though, right?
Now there is.
Oh, but then there wasn't.
When I was there, it was just more long haired metal dudes, Chinese metal dudes, and weird. Kind of The Cure sounding ripoff bands, you know, okay. With makeup and everything.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I'm just like, yeah, it's cool, man, but this sounds just exactly like a ripoff. I like those really shitty glam LA bands. You know?
Yeah, hair band.
Yeah.
What do they call in Japan? Visual K.
Yeah, Visual K. Yeah.
A lot of
makeup, like Marilyn Manson stuff.
Yeah, that's right. But the music is the most uninteresting.
It's not.
If they had 5% of those makeup job, it would be
in the
know,
music. Yeah, it would
but
be
they're great. Using this warmed over hair. Yeah, that tripped me out.
It was so weird. So yeah, I obviously couldn't fit in.
Yeah.
Didn't really find friends there, so I just was hanging out with coworkers, drinking beers.
Did you have a guitar?
I had one guitar, but I was very uninspired because I was living in the living room.
I was
sleeping on the couch in my parents' place. When they had this kitchen that had a small wooden door.
Yeah.
That was kind of somewhat the most soundproof area in the entire apartment.
Yeah.
So at night when my parents are going to sleep, I would just go into the kitchen and close the door and sit on these like a tiny, you know, those like green stools that it's like the height of the bucket.
Yeah.
Just like those tiny little stools. I'm like wearing these slippers and in my shorts and just like trying to write a song.
Wow. So you got some kind of tape recorder?
Yeah, I had like a tape recorder.
Okay.
I mean, nothing really came out of that year.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was about a year.
Really bad, uninspiring year. Then my buddy from Hawaii, Mark Olson, who's this half-American, half-Alaska native dude that I met in Hawaii, born and raised in Japan, because his family was like a missionary priest that moved to Japan in the 60s, I believe, and he was born there. But anyway, we met in Hawaii. He was a really good friend of mine. He went back to Japan after college. So he called me up out of the blue, and he was just like, man, I heard what happened, you know, like, what are you doing now? And I'm just like, just working in real estate, want to die.
Yeah.
He was like, well, I'm...
Holding pattern.
Yeah, he's working at this traffic company place where they're, like, measuring, I don't know, for construction. I can't remember what he said exactly. He's in a car all day, and he's just so bored out of his skull. And he was just like, let's get out of here, man. He's like, let's go somewhere. Let's meet. Like, what about Canada? You have a Canadian passport. So I was like, yeah, but I don't know anyone there. I don't have any relatives. I don't know any friends. Like, he's like, who cares, man? You have a passport. Like, just use it. Like, you can live there and play music. No one will care. And I was like, yeah, but I'm 25. I don't want to get a shitty job washing dishes again. He's like, who gives a shit, man? He's like, are you happy now? I'm like, no. He's like, let's just go. And I was like, okay, let's look at the map. So Vancouver, I was stuck, homeless. No. There's only three cities you can pick, really. Yeah. In Toronto, I was there when I was a kid in the 80s.
So I already did that.
And then I was like, what's left? Montreal. I heard they speak French there. Cool. Exotic. Let's go.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got plane tickets, and then I said goodbye to my parents.
And he went for it, too. Did he?
Yeah, he met up with me over there.
But he didn't have a Canadian passport.
No, he's American. Okay. So he just showed up there. He just wanted a break.
Okay.
So we went to Montreal, found a place, and then after I met other people, 6 months went by, he was just like, all right, man, you got new friends, so you play music again.
I'm out of here.
I'm going back to Japan.
Is that right?
And I'm just like, what? And then for the longest time, my dad thought we were like a gay couple. My dad was like, I know he's your best friend, but what kind of friend would quit his job just to help you kickstart your life, you know, like... There's no friend that does that. And he's like, that's a really good friend. Like a good fucking friend. You should thank him for that. And then, and he left and I've been in Montreal.
What'd he do? Go back to the traffic thing?
He went back and he's just like, he's working in a barista. He's working in a cafe as a barista now. In Fukuoka, in the south of Japan.
Yeah. Kyushu.
In Kyushu, yeah.
But is he a music man?
He loves music, but he doesn't play.
He's a listener.
Yeah.
Get going.
Yeah.
You need him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Either we all play and take turns, or somebody's got to come.
Yeah.
Actually, that's how the old punk scene really tripped me out. It seemed like everybody was just taking turns playing. Because it freaked me out. You know, I come from arena rock, and I'd never seen this thing where the guy on stage would be watching the next guy playing. And then he'd be down there, and it was like, wow. Because I was always, you know, don't pay attention to that man behind the curtain world. You know? And then I was in the scene, like, look at this. Now it's his turn. I was just standing next. Now he's up. It really tripped me out.
Yeah.
But I liked it. So I told you that I told D-Boom, we can do this.
Yeah.
I never said that. I mean, I liked that T-Rex gig, my first gig. It was a great one, but I never said to D-Boom, we can do this. Actually, you know, it was trippy compared to the records. His songs were like 2-3 minutes, you know. Live, he played the first 2-3 minutes. They'd be on his knees doing 20 minutes of guitar solos.
Oh,
yeah.
My God,
could never met like a Hendrix fixation or something.
That's crazy.
Because you would never know it by the records.
Yeah. Very economical. But there's
Yeah, right. But the gigs were like... And then, you know, all this big loud sound. He's got a guy on congas. You know, you couldn't hear
it. You can't hear it at all.
These guys are like jamming. This guy on the side has got a big gangster hat and he's playing congas. It was like, whoa, that's...
That was a trip.
Interesting. And I remember in front of us, D. Boone's pop was from Nebraska. He
right.
Might as well have a hayseed sticking out. And, you know, he just wanted to bring us, make sure, because we were only 14.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. In front of us is a row of Hare Krishnas twirling sparklers. And he was smiling, though.
Yeah.
I got to say. It was a trippiest gig, but it was much different. So he is a bitching dude to help kickstart your life. Your pop should know there's cats like that.
Yeah, that's a real
thing. Actually, there's people come into my life that's helped me like that.
Yeah.
You know, there are, I know you can get cynical. Like, today we went to the Boneyard to see Mr. Bukowski, and we followed the directions wrong.
Yeah.
The cat came back and helped us. He got in his little car and even took us.
Yeah.
Had to walk with a cane and everything and stuff.
Yeah, he was so nice. He was so nice. He didn't have to go out of his way. Yeah. He was walking with a cane. Yeah. Beautiful man.
And all them cats planted, and he knows where his. He goes, I know that one. He said three Polish ladies had been.
Yeah, three Polish ladies came to visit him.
Wow. So, okay, he bails back to Japan. Mm-hmm. You're in Montreal, but you're now hooked in with musicians.
Yeah, I met some people, but...
What are you doing? You're not washing dishes?
No, I was washing dishes.
See?
Yeah. And I was just, like, at 25, washing dishes, but this is what I wanted to do. And at this point, it wasn't like, oh, I'm just playing music for fun. At this point, it was like, no, I'm doing this because I need to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it makes me feel good about myself.
So this is different than San Francisco.
Yeah, this is way different.
Buddy's coming from Hawaii.
Yeah.
This is, you're on a mission.
Yeah. Like, I'm doing it no matter what.
I gotta express myself.
It's like when I was working in real estate, I felt like I wasn't worth anything, you know? Like I wasn't making anything that made me...
But maybe that experience was important.
I think it was, or else I would have never taken music seriously. It was just been like a hobby, you know?
Like it was before.
Yeah. Like
it changed after that.
It changed after that.
Okay. So you're washing dishes, you're playing with Montreal guys...
No, actually, I went to all these Craigslist ads and, like, forums, you know.
Sure.
You know, guitar player wanted, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, the R's were the best. They'd say, no flakes. Must have own transpo.
Yeah, yeah.
Image a must.
Image a must.
No flakes. Like, you're going to come to the patch and go, hey, you know, I can play, but I'm kind of a flake. Get out of here. Oh, they'd be hilarious. Some of them would go, have management, have deal, need drummer, bass, guitar.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have a band. They got everything else.
Oh, God.
Anyway, ours was called The Recycler. Remember I was telling you earlier about answering those. But I think Craigslist is kind of the new version of The Recycler because these were sold in the 7-Eleven. So maybe the internet is the new 7-Eleven.
The new Recycler, yeah.
So you're answering these ads, but none of it's panning out.
None of it worked out. So I just.
So this is the idea of the Dirty Beaches come?
Yeah, this is where Dirty Beaches came. And I just did everything myself. Just had like a tape recorder.
Yeah.
Just kept recording. And I bought like a loop pedal. That changed my life. I didn't need to be like, hey, can you play this riff over and over again so I can figure something out? Now I have infinite.
And this machine.
This machine that's doing it. And yeah, and that was the beginning.
That's the beginning. So Montreal was a heavy.
Yeah, it was really heavy. The first
heavy place to be.
First five
years. But it was potential. It was opportunity.
Yeah, it was
I'm
also
I'm not saying
like,
it's easy, but...
Yeah, it definitely gave the environment because it wasn't like China where if people asked you, like, what are you into? You like music. And they're like, oh, what, like Bon Jovi? And you're like, no. But you don't even know where to start, you know?
So yeah, they're coming around.
But back then, 2005, it was...
I could imagine.
Yeah. They're like, oh, like, okay, so your old band kind of sounds like Oasis. And you're like, oh, God. There's, like, no reference point. You know?
Yeah, right, right.
And then you meet someone who knows Velvet Underground, and you're like, you almost feel like you're godsend.
Yeah,
like,
right, wow.
Who are you? Like, you're from China, but enlightened, you know Velvet Underground. Yeah.
Velvet Underground. You know what? Believe it or not, talking about Velvet Underground, I remember there was some Hollywood punks they didn't know.
Oh, really?
I remember the Dills. Yeah, because the Dills did What Goes On or one of their songs, and I remember talking to some cat. You know, you see the same dudes. There was 200 punks, so you see the same dudes
people
every week.
Yeah.
You know, you knew them in a way, but you didn't know them, especially SoCal, where you're 100 miles from each other, right?
Yes.
And you meet at the gig, right? There's this little meeting thing in Hollywood, and oh, there's that dude again. He's always wearing but I remember talking to this guy, and like, you know, this song sounds so mad. It's like, this is Velvet. Velvet who? Yeah, the one band it seemed like everybody knew in those days was Stooges.
Stooges, yeah.
That's the one thing. I would think Velvet Underground. In fact, the Stooges were into Velvet Underground. Yeah. But, yeah, so you people in China, don't feel totally left out, because I knew some Hollywood dudes in the old days who did not know. So don't feel bad.
No, China has a cool, really cool scene now.
I can imagine. Well, Steve McKay, the sax man, mm-hmm. He told me he went over there last year.
Yeah.
And, well, there's expats, too.
Yeah.
And they're passing on information.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, organic thing coming out. And
there's a cool Beijing scene over there that's happening. A lot of no wave, weird noise, oscillators.
And what do you think it came out
of? It was just all from this club called D22, which was run by this American expat who was part of the...
Okay.
The
so New he York. Had the old records.
He was just part of the New York 70s, 80s scene.
Oh, no way.
So he brought...
Thurston. DNA and...
Yeah, and he also brought, like, Thurston Moore and...
brought some gigs.
He actually brought them over. And in China at the time, bands couldn't play at venues. They had to pay the venues, like rent the venue.
Like Lifehouse in Japan.
Yeah, so...
Pay to play.
Pay to play. It's awful. No,
actually, Hollywood's that way now.
That's awful, man. It's just like, no one can afford it, you know?
Yeah.
And the bands that actually survive are like the Bon Jovi cover
bands. Merch ones.
Yeah. Like the Guns N' Roses cover bands, you know?
That is the worst scene.
Yeah. So those kids got Salvation. They played that club. And that, mm-hmm. and they were like, what? Like, I can play here for free and just bring my friends over? And that's it? And they're like, yeah, if we make some money, you'll get paid. And they're just like, what? Like, this is a foreign idea.
Yeah, know? right.
And then, yeah, that scene just, like, was cultivated from that.
Wow. Okay, back to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you start doing gigs?
Yeah, I was just playing,
Dirty Beaches,
like,
gigs?
Bars. Yeah.
I remember some old Montreal club. The first one I played was called Fufone Electric.
Yeah, Fufone Electric, yeah.
Is it still around?
It's still around, man.
Yeah, I'm talking 82.
I heard back in the days, it was a cool place, man.
I think it was the only place.
Yeah.
But it was a good place to play. There was kind of a balcony.
Mm-hmm.
I played there with Black Flag, played there with Minuteman.
Yeah. It's got a rich history there.
I even won gig in Quebec City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, trippy. But down the years, there was a... Until I found about this scene I was talking to you about earlier...
Mm-hmm.
With the Godspeed guys, yeah. And that Spanish social club.
Yeah,
La Sala Rosa.
Del Popolo, La Sala
Popolo, Rosa. Yeah. And before that, there was things like Jailhouse Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Opera House, but it wasn't, maybe it was a theater. I don't know if it was a real opera house. But there was strange one-off things. But I always liked playing in Montreal. But those guys had really cultivated a scene.
Yeah.
Morrow. And
they were definitely like... They're in the 90s. And,
yeah, right. Yeah, this really is when this happened.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was a cat there, who's still there, Chapeau, who went and took all my Minutemen lyrics and translated them into Quebecois.
That's awesome.
Yeah, is that a trip? Yeah. It's called Spiels of a Minuteman. So.
That's great.
Where did you take it from there?
It was actually just kind of like before. There was all these scenes, and I was not part of them at all, because I was just stuck in the middle.
Okay.
There was like all these noise, more... interesting things happening at this place called Friendship Cove, which is like this weird house that looked like a squat. But
collective,
yeah. And it was a really cool place, cool shows. But then there was like all these indie rock stuff coming out, like Arcade Fire and bigger bands like Wolf Parade or whatever. One of them was my neighbor, but I was just not part of it. You know, like I couldn't fit into
stuff.
I was just like trying to figure my shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that took years, and just kind of met other outsiders, people who kind of moved to Montreal for music, like me.
Yeah.
And then there was a label that my friend started called Fixture Records.
Yeah.
And they put out the first 4 releases by Dirty Beaches. And maybe we sold like 5 copies in total at that time.
One each?
Yeah.
No, one sold 2.
Yeah, one sold 2.
Wow, but I would like to hear these.
Yeah. A lot of them are on Bandcamp now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll put it out there.
Okay. I got to get them. Because I start...
yeah, I'll send it to
you. I got turned on Badlands.
Yeah, from Badlands. Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's a little down the road.
Yeah.
But I'm really interested in the roots of where this come from. And you're doing one-man gigs.
Yeah, all by myself.
Do you want to do a one-man gig right here?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Respect. Respect. That was incredible. And in my prac pad. That's righteous.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. Okay. We're at the second end of the second hour, October 7th, 2013, Dishwamp Peter Show. Hold tight for hour three. October 7th, 2013, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
and slaves to material society. Your empty soul is burning in the plastic sea. Tethered to the logic of the status quo. You're looking for salvation in a fashion show.
Thank you. vale a pena, não vale a pena gastar mais tempo neste problema. Vale a pena, não vale a pena, já está feito, estás na cena. Feeling up, feeling down, feeling up, feeling down, feeling up, feeling down, feeling up, feeling down. Não vale a pena, não vale a pena, dá um jeito, já foi feito. Não vale a pena, não vale a pena, mundo muda, nunca é a mesma. Ilumina, ilumina, ilumina este dilema. Ilumina, ilumina, ilumina esta vida. Feeling up, feeling down, feeling up, feeling down, feeling up, feeling down. The feeling up, the feeling down. Não vale a pena, não vale a pena, mundo muda, nunca é a mesma. Ilumina, ilumina, ilumina este dilema. Ilumina, ilumina, ilumina esta vida. Feeling up, feeling down, feeling up, feeling down, feeling up, this feeling down, this feeling up, this feeling down.
From Pedro Show. Yeah, we just got some, well, that was last hour. We started this third hour, but I got two. Do you have titles for them compositions?
The ones I just played?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so we got two untitled compositions, but well, we do know they were recorded in Pedro. In fact, my track pad, very honored to have aboard here. We start the third hour off with some Dirty Beaches, Landscapes in the Mist. Great tune off the double album. There we go. And in fact, Alex is enlightening me to the fact that he's going to do, in that vein, a jazz album, and he's going to get some trumpet going.
Yeah, I'm going to try and take some lessons. Yeah, for the first time. I've never took any lessons for music, so I really want to take some lessons.
All right. I think trumpet's a lot about the lip.
Yeah, it's all about the
right.
Squeeze it out. Where a saxophone is like with the reed and then the hand.
Fingering. I think with the trumpet, you got to get a lot from the lip. There's some valves, but a lot of lip.
Yeah.
But fuck, you've been through lots of hell rides. You can do. The Unawares, Pockets Unknown. There's a title of a song, Pockets Unknown. And Splitting Albums, Splitting Atoms by the Freaks. Burn from Iggy and the Stooges. I just played with them in San Jose. And when we were doing that song, we did it very last, outside at a park for some, like, it was a weird convention. Yeah, it was a festival that was an electronics convention mixed with music. That's strange.
That sounds cool.
And, James gave a little spiel. I didn't know he worked for AMD. But anyway, when we were doing this song, Burn, all these naked ladies came up on the stage that were, all, well, not totally naked. They were painted. Whoa. But, yeah, we got done playing, and I asked Dig, what was that about? And he said, well, there's just some people standing there, Mike, and we got done, and I thought, let's bring them all up there. So they must have been at some other kind of an event. I don't know.
That's
so,
awesome.
You know, unless they dress like that all the time. And then finally, Deja Vu by Stoma. I think they're Belgian. And I say Belgium because first time I got to play with Dirty Beaches. Actually, we had a gig fall through, and these cats were so righteous to let me and my missing man open up for them.
Well, it's an honor, man.
What was it called?
We should have been opening for
what
you.
What was
guys.
That called? It was like three different venues in the same
pad.
Yeah,
one pad. I couldn't remember. It was like there was another show going on at our show. We were like playing the smaller
right.
room, and then there was like a metal show or something.
Right.
Downstairs. There's all these weird kids with dreadlocks just showing up.
That was a trippy gig. They had some good chow, I remember. And first time I got to see Dirty Beaches live, and it was great. Yeah, you had that man on sax.
Yeah.
With the beret.
Frankie DeGallo,
the rooster man.
The rooster man, yeah.
And, yeah, you know, there's something about seeing a band for the first time, especially when you got no preconception. I didn't know what to look for, which is reminds me of my first punk gigs. I didn't know, and in some ways those are my best because I had no idea. And so what do you call that, a clean slate?
Yeah.
You know, no prejudice in a way.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
though you try to be open-minded, still your mind wants to do categories. I had no idea. And then you brought it, man. I was like, wow. I was hollering. I think I drank a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, that was one of the best compliments I ever got from you. That was bitching.
That was
so
bad. Yeah, it was bitching. It was. I mean, I got you know. I see a lot of bands.
I see a lot
of music.
I know.
But so what? I was a newborn babe. I was just brought into this fucking Dirty Beaches world, and it was bitching. I dug it.
That comment. It still stayed with me. You said the way I play guitar sounded like boats.
It was like boats.
That was the best compliment I ever got.
It was like boats, and now that I showed you my town,
yeah,
you understand the connect,
horrible.
Right?
Yeah, I can connect.
My papa sailor and. I mean, it was visceral. The connect was visceral.
Yeah.
I know to some people guitar is about licks and chops,
yeah.
but I love people like you that take it out of the shit-hard center realm and get it into, that's whatever it takes to do what it does, and everybody's got their own way.
Yeah.
To reduce it to chops, that's almost like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I think instincts can only take you so far, though. I'm open to...
Because that's why you're into this idea of the trumpet and lessons?
Yeah, I want to take lessons. It's like, I can only rely on my instincts and go so far.
Okay.
And I hit like a plateau.
Okay.
I can't make any breakthroughs after that.
But your imagination is asking for more.
Yeah, my imagination.
But the ability...
My ability is... Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather you be making the big leap with the imagination, you know, than just be a technocrat.
Yeah.
And no imagination.
That's true.
Which is the shit hard center. Look, I can do, you know,
yeah.
how many beats a minute and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was just, to me, I don't know, it struck a chord in me. I want to be part of that. You know, like when me and D. Boone saw those, I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to copy it. That would be no respect for that.
But you are a part of that, Mike. Uncle Mike, you
I
are
I
want to
be
that.
Part
yeah.
of it. And people like you make me feel it. Sometimes I feel, don't put me in the glass box yet, I got more work. But then, on the other hand, what about my work? It only makes sense if I'm relative to something I'm fucking digging, and I want to be part of a movement.
You're totally a part of it.
Sometimes it's a bowel movement. But,
yeah.
you know, you, I don't know, that was bitching for me. That was a really good moment.
Thank
and
you.
The way it came out from nowhere, yeah, it was just very pleasant.
Thank you, Uncle Man.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. Well, my friend's grandfather said, you're a great man named Rudolf, wait, hold on. A great man named Rudolf Farsky said,
yeah.
a great shit is worth half a fuck.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, no wine before it's time. Rudolf Schreck?
Farsky.
Farsky,
yeah.
Thank you, Rudolf Farsky, for you. The... Almost too much weight for one brain to take, but I'm gonna bear that because that makes a lot of sense. And I don't know. All my connects through music have been from the John Coltrane, I got an interview with him where he's talking about musicians are looking for some kind of truth.
Yeah.
And it's weird. I had Motoka Hanna on the show the other time, last time, and I said, do you got a philosophy for improv? She does improvisation, which to me is a total pantsure, like what you just did. Like no script, right? And I know other people, they're incredible players, but you don't put something in front of them, oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So I asked her, is that a philosophy? And she said, honesty.
Yeah.
Which is what Coltrane, we're looking for, people really into music are looking for some kind of truth.
Yeah.
So that was my connect.
I think we all have, like, all these roles that we play in the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Of all the people that we meet, and everyone, like, even meeting, like, my old friends in Hawaii who, you know, when we played really bad music.
Yeah.
Those are all meant to be something.
Yeah.
And I met you, Uncle Mike, and then you inspired me so much, you know, and so much of my friends, like, everyone's so jealous of me, like, that I'm hanging out with you right now in San Pedro. And they're like, man, hanging out with Mike Watt, like, duh, Mike Watt.
But for me, it's my opportunity. I get to share my Pedro town, my stories, you hear my windbag, my spiels.
Mike, man.
Genuine.
Yeah, so many of my friends, they, like, including me, we all fucking love you and respect you so much, man.
Wow.
It's a real honor to be here, man.
And then you said in the beginning, well, earlier, about the outsider, because that's how I felt. That's how me and D. Boone felt.
Yeah.
But isn't it trippy outsider, then we feel we belong in a trippy way. Not a choking. I think that's why we don't want to belong that other way, because it's suffocating.
It's really limiting.
But we this way, it's cool to belong.
It's cool.
It's happening.
I feel like
struggle.
I feel like life is like in weird laps.
Okay.
Like right now, I feel like I'm back in high school again. Now I'm 33.
Yeah.
I'm seeing these familiar sights again, and like I recognize this pattern. It's weird. And then that's why I started listening to all these R&B, hip-hop stuff.
Yeah.
I was listening in high school, just driving town in L.A.
Yeah.
Listening to, like, Tupac or, like,
weird,
like, high school stuff. And then people were like, man, you listen to this? I'm like, so what? So fucking what?
Yeah.
Get out of my fucking car if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Whereas in high school, I was, like, shriveled up.
Yeah.
You know, people were like, you like this? And I'm like,
Because the peer pressure was
there. The peer pressure was there, and I couldn't stand up for myself.
Yeah.
You know? And now I just feel like, I listen to Janet Jackson. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you and your pretentious
sideways
shit.
Sideways.
You know? I can think Coltrane, Janet Jackson,
whatever,
like, Anderson, Neubauten. Like, I don't care, man. It's like, it's all just music, you know?
Right.
People, I don't judge people. You know?
No, I like this.
Yeah.
I like this philosophy.
I really like this new, this second time around, you know? I like seeing it. And then people are telling me, like, you know, they like Creedence. I'm like, that's cool, man. I respect that, man.
Like, you're in the boat.
Yeah.
And I put on Creedence. You get all six albums. Tom Watson is like, you're not going to hear one, son. They're going to be in order, Tom. It's all right. Let's listen to me some music.
Yeah.
This is Last Batch.
Chicken stick. The stick trap. Kenyon Dean. We'll be right back.
Come Jackson's god of vandalism, police fire to oppress the mob. Too much restraints, all too possible in bloodshed. All controls are lost, and the performance of the regime flee. We get tomorrow, fighting another crusade. Scars, another victory, heal quickly. With exhilarating urgency, our ultimate supremacy. Iconoclasts, making a debut. Destroying objects of a new politics. Revenge is the key to enlighten you and me. Change is the game, and survival should be. Pseudo must go, so the limit can grow. Adamant masses to the tone of vandalism. Police fall out to oppress the mob. Too much restraint results in consular bloodshed. All controls are lost in the proposal of Jean Fleet. Needed tomorrow, fight any crusade. Scars are another victory heal quickly. With exhilarating urgency for ultimate supremacy. What is the cure for Catholic mistakes? They whisper the wrath and adversity is a path. At one point, their doors, you will be in control. But any legal beings who respond to society, as goals will be good and life will be understood. Adamant masses to the tone of vandalism. Police violence to oppress the mob. Too much restraint results in consequent bloodshed. All controls are lost in the proposal of the regime flee. Beat it tomorrow, fighting everything to save. Stars are another victory, heal quickly. Was it still a conspiracy for ultimate supremacy? I kind of class you.
Watch for Pedro show. We got something brand new from Melt Banana. Left Dog Run Caper Run, of course.
That's great.
It's a title that tells you everything. Then Moist Boys with Paper Boy. Chrome with Salt Helios Creed. They go back to the 70s, San Francisco scene. Peer group of Iconoclast Youth from the long-lost San Pedro record from early 80s. This band from the Philippines, Bombo Pluto Ova with Avoir Dupoy. And then White Knight with Crud. They're Anaheim, I think. Orange County band. And a Glimpse Trio with Satorio Mine. They're from the city.
Yeah.
I think original Cleveland, though. Sterile Jets with Brunette Teenager. This guy came to the gig Saturday and just handed me the CD at Harold's here. Yeah. I can't believe there's gigs at Harold's. This is Biker Bar and Pedro. And
oh, yeah. Was that the one you told me about? Like,
but in the 90s, like, it would never been a punk. I think favorite pickup line is, nice tooth. Okay. And finally, we had Ryan is Fun with Movie Life. Ryan is Fun, you know, that's what...
I like that title.
Yeah, if I didn't have Miss Amanda, I would have picked Ryan is Fun. what's next? You just got done with this tour. You got a couple more days here in SoCal.
Yeah, and then I'm driving to New York from LA with my buddy.
That's a hell ride.
Yeah, we have limited time too. He got hired to drive this band.
Okay.
Band's gear.
So what? Mainly I-40.
Yeah.
The old Route 66.
We have 3 days to do it.
Well, yeah, that's about what it takes without stopping. Wow.
So
I've done some of those. Yeah. So we got hired to bring some gear.
Yeah.
At least the weather's cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. If you stay, I think storms already hit up in the Dakotas, but if you do I-40.
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, and I'll be wishing for you anyway. Thank you. And from New York?
From New York, then we play at Halifax Festival called Halifax.
Maritime, that's where I got to play in Canada.
And then we go back to Berlin.
Okay.
Then there's ATP in London.
I think, Camber Sands.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
I think I'm playing with you December 1st.
Is it? Oh, awesome.
Yeah, the Italian guys.
Yeah,
the Sergio de Marinaio.
Okay.
Okay, so, wow, that's bitching.
That's cool.
Yeah, somebody, I heard about that, but it's by the beach. I think it's the last one ever.
I think the other one, that's what they always say, though. I said that a couple of times.
I know the Who has said that about a lot of tours. Yeah. The Going Away Tour.
That'd be great to see you there, though.
Okay, and I'm going to play with them guys, and then I'm going to go to Italy and make a second album with them in Bologna.
Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. So you'll do that, and then go back to Berlin?
Then we do, like, a Europe tour again, basically from England to, like, Poland or something.
To get back?
To get back, yeah.
Well, fuck. I just thank you so much for coming and seeing my town, spending
Mike,
time with me.
It's been a beautiful day.
Coming on to the show. Brother Matt, we miss you. Sorry, we were, 3 minutes, 4 minutes late?
4 minutes late. I'm sorry, man.
Sorry.
We had to see Bukowski.
We had to go see
Hank.
Right. We almost blew a tooth. Thank you for that kind caretaker, huh?
Yeah.
It's been the October 7, 2013 edition of Walk Peter Show with my very special guest, Axe Chang. Thanks so much, brother.
Thank you, Uncle Mike.
Okay. Everybody. Thank you, and keep your powder dry.